to you about the reading from that we just heard from the book of Jeremiah, book of prophet Jeremiah. And so I want to start with it with a simple question, which really comes from the reading. And that is, what is the most effective way to destroy a relationship with another person? I think, well, probably lots of good ways to do that. You could hit somebody with a stick. That generally works pretty well. Or you could, I don't know, publicly embarrass somebody, I guess. You could betray their trust. You could, I don't know, steal their money. Probably you can think of lots of examples, right? You know, way to, you could destroy even a long-lasting relationship with somebody. How about this one? What about lying to somebody? And I had this interesting conversation with my daughter this week. She's going, yeah, because she deals with the public a lot. She's a hairdresser, so she's always interacting with people. And she's going, Dad, I don't believe in lying, but are there some times when it's okay to not be brutally honest? You know, and she says sometimes with one of my clients, for example, I'll say to them, well, that's a really nice shirt. And she'll go, well, it's actually not that nice a shirt, but you know, it's just kind of building rapport with somebody. Or somebody might say, how would you like to see pictures of, I don't know, something or other, my trip to wherever, Antarctica. And I pictured that I snapped literally every 5 seconds. And how would you like to see all of them? And you could say yes. And that's not really a lie in the sense that we're talking about it in the church. When we talk about it in the tradition of the church, we wouldn't say that it was a lie. We'd think, okay, what's the intention to say yes? I would love to say it. And that is, I value you and this is important to you. And I want to let you know that you're important to me. Not talking about that kind of lie. Different kind of thing, eh? So lying, and I think we know what we mean by lying, not just polite, you know, maybe not 100% saying everything that comes into your mind. When we talk about lying, why is it so effective in destroying relationships? I think everybody agreed that's a pretty good way to wreck a relationship with somebody, lie to them. Yeah, okay. So number one is that God has given us the gift of language. Think about this. Given the gift of language, why has God given us the gift of language? So that we can take what is within ourselves, we can take our thoughts and feelings, and we can communicate them to someone else so that it can kind of enter into their thoughts and feelings, right? Most of us don't have the ability to read each other's minds. Sometimes we think we do, but we really don't. So we have, you know, I'm in my skin, you're in your skin. So how on earth are we going to communicate with each other? It's through God's gift of language. And so to lie is to betray the truth, and it's to betray that gift that God has given us. Second reason is God has given us the gift of language so that we can build trust with each other, so we can build relationships, so we can have Greek word is koinonia, so we can have communion with each other. And if we lie to each other, not only is not accurate to the truth, it also destroys trust. Make sense so far? You think that's right? Okay. And third, and this is a little more subtle point, but it's probably the most important point. And it's this, that lying takes something that belongs to all of us, which is language, which is speech, and it turns it into my own personal possession. And not only does it turn it into my own personal possession, which I can control, it turns it into kind of a weapon that I can use to harm other people or to manipulate other people and get what I want. So it's the opposite of God's intention in giving us language, which is to communicate clearly, to build trust, and to and have loyalty between people, it makes it something of mine that I use and that I abuse. So what happens when people lie to each other? When they use language to cause harm to each other? Well, East Germany, right? You know, you hear stories. I don't know how accurate this is, but I saw a movie once in which this happened anyway. And that is where you have married couples actually spying on each other, right? You end up with cultures. I know I've heard this from people from Eastern Europe, where people kind of surveil each other. And that is that it builds suspicion. So lying ultimately leads to suspicion. And then there's something very strange that Jeremiah taught. He's talking about all the ways we harm each other, but one of the ways implied here is lying. Then he says something very strange. He suddenly starts talking about the creation story. Did you notice that? You know, that darkness was upon the face of the deep. Do you remember that in Genesis? And Jeremiah starts talking about all of a sudden, you're going, why is he talking about the creation story all of a sudden, about how God brought order out of chaos, which is what it's all about? And Jeremiah's point is, when we harm each other, specifically when we lie to each other, the result is chaos. In verse 22, he says something quite peculiar, and that is, he says, my children are wise in doing evil. You're going, what do you mean by wise in doing evil? Then you think, well, actually, in the Old Testament, we think, how do we think of wisdom? Well, somebody like myself delivering words of wisdom, you know, from the front of a church or a university professor or something. Well, that's wisdom. In the Old Testament, you could say that a carpenter was wise, or you could say that a musician was wise. We could say, for example, that a piano player was wise. What it means is somebody who is skilled in what they do, who is practiced in what they do. And so if you can be skilled and practiced as a carpenter, or skilled and practiced as a piano player, you can also be skilled and practiced as a liar. And that means you practice and practice and practice so much that you get really good at it. And the person who pays the price for that are the people around you. Pays the price for that is also yourself. So here's a point that Jeremiah makes. And it's point St. Augustine, if you care, as well, makes even more clearly, but it's certainly here in Jeremiah as well. That's why he mentions things falling into chaos. He goes, what kind of punishment should God give to people who are chronic, who have fallen into the habit of being practiced liars with everything that involves? Let's see, the punishment is to live in the kind of world that you've created. That is, a disordered mind is its own punishment, St. Augustine says. The world in which you create, you and I create, if we lie and we create suspicion and people are no longer trust each other, that the world we live in is punishment enough, because it is a world that is chaotic. Make sense? Seem right so far? Yep. Okay. So this story in Jeremiah, especially the part where you see the coming apart of the universe into chaos, should remind us of something else in the New Testament. And that is, there is a scene in which the world returns to darkness, in which we hear a cry of despair, at least part of the temple is rent in two. And Who can save us from our chaos, we ask. And if you remember, you can think about what that scene is where in the New Testament where the sky turns dark, there's a cry of despair, and the curtain in the temple is rent in two. Anybody remember that one? Yeah, it's Jesus' crucifixion, right? So Jesus, who is the truly innocent one, the one who has never lied, the one who is always faithful to the Father, has decided to enter into the, what's the best word, the tornado of the chaos that we human beings have created through doing harm to each other and through deception. He's placed himself at the center, and there is nothing, even at the end, there is nothing that comes from his lips but the truth. So you remember this, the passion scenes, right? Where he'll be questioned, and sometimes he'll give an answer. Sometimes he won't give an answer. He gives an answer, and when he does give an answer, it's truthful. And when he stands before Pontius Pilate, he gives no answer at all. Do you remember that? Jesus is silent because Jesus finds himself in a situation where there is no possible way to speak the truth. And so the truth that he speaks is silence, and he simply is the truth. You also may remember the opening of the book of Jeremiah. Do you remember this? Jeremiah is called by God and to be a prophet. And Jeremiah goes, "Oh, I am but a youth." And the Lord goes, "Oh, just be quiet, Jeremiah. And don't worry about yourself. Get over yourself." He says, "Because I am going to put my words upon your lips." So, united to Jesus, it is a gift that's, well, we all know St. Paul's words, right? The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do do. Who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So we can see we have these tensions inside of ourselves. But Paul says, don't worry, as we heard today, I was a blasphemer and a man of violence, but by the grace of God, now I am who I am. So through union with the risen Christ, he placed his words of truth on our lips. Jeremiah used a very strange phrase. He talks about we need to wash our hearts in order to speak the truth. And in the Gospels, we see that Jesus washes our hearts so that he can place his truth upon our lips so that we can be freed from this, what's the word? Destructive cycle of lying. That human beings in our history have been caught up in, and we, you know, in our own lives, I know we've all been touched by deception as well. It's just part of human experience. So today we ask the Lord to wash our hearts, to put his truth upon our lips, to heal us when we have been deceived ourselves, because great harm is done when we're deceived. And to simply renew the truth within us and free us from chaos and bring us that new life that he's promised us. Let's just pray together before we end. Lord Jesus, you know the great harm that's done would we misuse your gift of speech, or when it is used against us and when we are deceived. Lord, you know the pain that causes, but Lord, you chose to stand in the middle of everything that it means to be human. So make our own speech truthful. Wash our hearts so that we can speak the truth. And where there is deception, help us to see it with absolute clarity and free us. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.